Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. We return now to Ephesians chapter 2, which I read for us yesterday. It is true that our main text is Romans 8 verse 29, but we have come here to Ephesians to learn more about our spiritual death that has made it necessary for God to revive us. And the reason we are emphasizing spiritual death, and that only God can make us spiritually alive, is because we want to defend our understanding of predestination. Using the scripture, I want to demonstrate to you the necessity of God. If we imagine that using our own free will, we can be saved in the sense that our salvation depends on us, depends on the choice we make, then we are wrong. And so let me read Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 10 and then make comment. We do not have time to say everything that needs to be said about this awesome passage. We will pull out some insights pertinent to our current study of predestination and human free will. Ephesians 2 beginning in verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show us the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. You need to know the Apostle Paul writes this to Christian men and women, and he writes about their past. If you listen today as a Christian, then he writes to you and me about our past. He uses the words were and formerly more than once. These words reflect one's past. The text begins, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world." Note that were past tense and formerly past tense. You were what in the past? You were dead. You were what formerly? Oh, you walked according to the course of this world. In verse 3, he uses the word formerly again. We too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. And in verse 5 again, he says, we were dead. What he means is that in the past, before God made us alive, we were dead, dead in sin. We were spiritually dead. We were consumed with the lusts of our flesh. We indulged the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Therefore, we were by our sinful nature children of God's wrath. We were under God's judgment. We who are Christians, we were the same as people who are now not Christians. Now, this is very important to remember. often, once we have been made alive in Christ, as time passes, we forget what it was like when we lived like the people who are not Christians still live. We think we were somehow different from them. The truth is, we were not. We must always remember what God saved us from, and who we were before He made us a new creation of who we are to become. Be careful that we do not look out the ivory tower and through the stained-glassed windows of the church, down our noses and past our long finger that wags itself at the world and thinks, "What wretched sinners they are!" As if we were not once just like them. To be sure, our society is packed jam full of wretched sinners. That is obvious. But we were once included as children of wrath. Notice that Paul adds, even as the rest. That's verse 3. We Christians must pray for sinners. We must ask God to resurrect them from the dead. We must share the good news of the gospel with them. We must love and serve the sinners in our community. We must compassionately, graciously, and as winsomely as Jesus, tell them the truth. We must defend the truth. But when we remember who we once were, we should humbly give thanks to God for rescuing us from our sin and invite Him, plead with Him to do that exact same saving work in the lives of these others. Paul says if anyone should be humble, if anyone should know and remember that God saved us and we did not save ourselves, it is the Christian. At the end of verse 5, he writes, "By grace you have been saved." At the end of verse 7, he writes this about God in relation to us, the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And of course, in verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Our salvation is all of God's grace. Verse 8 continues, "Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." This is straightforward. This is put plain and is easy to understand. There's no confusion here. This is black and white. Paul is dogmatic. And in case we still don't get it, there are these words in verse 9, "Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." Christian people, we cannot run around boasting about being Christian as if we, of our own free will, as it is normally meant, as if we, by our own natural ability, as if we, because we are smarter or had greater insight, or because we were just so awesome that God had to choose us, as if for these reasons we are now in Christ Jesus? To the contrary, it is all because of God that we believe in Jesus, and that we love and serve Him now in newness of life. Make no mistake, this is because of what God has done for us. He has proactively intervened in our lives and transformed our will, our desire for sin, making it instead desire for the Savior. And let me just say this, as sometimes there is confusion about the word works that Paul uses twice. In verse 9, he says, "Not as a result of works." I just told you what that means. We are not saved by any good works that we do. But then in verse 10, he says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." What is going on here? Well, the works of verse 9 are the good works people try to do to prove to God they are worthy of Him. This is very popular. It is the practice of many to believe that if they do more good works than they do bad works, that God owes them a place in heaven. But the apostle says that is not true. Remember Romans 3 from yesterday? I will quote it. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Our good works do not save us, because any works we determine to be good, God looks at them differently. He sees all of them as unworthy of Him, because He detects our sinful motive in the doing of the good work. At the same time, after we are saved, after God has breathed new spiritual life into us and resurrected us from spiritual death, if we trust in Christ by faith, then and only then are we God's workmanship, and then and only then do we do the good works God has prepared beforehand. There is predestination again. God has prepared beforehand that we will walk in. God does accept good works. Indeed, God expects us to do good works, but only after our sins are forgiven and our motive in the work is the glory and honor of Holy God. I hope that brings clarity to the text. If not, do reach out to me with questions, with comments, and with criticisms. And now let's back up in Ephesians 2 for a moment to verse 1, because I really want you to see something before we go. Ephesians 2 verse 1 begins, "You were dead." The Greek word therefore, dead, means dead, lifeless. This is the adjective derived from the word for a corpse, a dead body. Literally, it means what lacks life, what is unable, ineffective, powerless, unresponsive, and inoperative to the things of God. Grasp the impact of what Paul means by being dead spiritually, and join us next time for God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.